Welcome to the Weekly Digest, a podcast by News 24, South Africa's most trusted news brand. Every Friday, we invite you into our studio to listen to conversations about some of the week's top stories. Mihlali Ntsabo is our host.
In today's episode, we speak to News 24 senior news reporter Ndwagai Silega on why over 500 mine workers at the Goldwan mine in the east of Johannesburg staged a sit-in for 3 days. Later, we speak to News 24 senior politics reporter Soyiso Maliti and News 24 entertainment reporter Itumedze Mako on why the KwaZulu-Natal provincial government has withdrawn from hosting the South African Music Awards. On Sunday evening, more than 500 mine workers at the Goldwan mine in Springs, east of Johannesburg, staged a sit-in demanding for a change in union representation. The standstill was set in motion by the Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union, AMCU, backed by several hundred mine workers who demanded for the recognition of the union by the mining company. The National Union of Mine Workers, which is the majority union at Goldwan, claimed that the miners underground were being held against their will. In an unexpected turn of events, the miners who were underground resurfaced, bringing the sit-in to an end. Ndwagai Silega, News 24 senior journalist, joins us in studio to give us the latest. Ndwagai, earlier this week, we learned of how over 500 miners were reportedly held hostage at Goldwan Mine in Springs in the east of Johannesburg. What exactly do we know that led to the miners being underground for 3 days?
What happened is that on Sunday, workers reported for duty, and then it was about 563. Those workers were kept hostage according to the police and the NUM. Then from Wednesday morning, the first batch resurfaced. It was 107. They walked. They didn't use what they call a catch. A catch is sort of a lift that takes you underground. The reason for them to walk out that 107 was hunger. They last ate on Monday morning. And now some of them said they couldn't contain hunger anymore. They were hungry. They missed home. They wanted to be with their family. And they felt that the message that they don't want the NUM has been sent.
And one would, of course, imagine that the living conditions underground were extremely harsh. You were one of the News 24 journalists that some of the mine workers above ground spoke to. How were they managing undergrounds, and what details did they give regarding the living conditions that they were subjected to?
On our arrival on Wednesday, after workers had resurfaced after 1400 hours, as Numk Amku had leaked to us that actually they tipped us, and we broke the story to say workers are going to resurface at 1400 hours. And indeed, they started resurfacing. We saw them going to the showers, take a shower, and then jumping into minibus taxis inside the mine facility, and they were driven home. And then later, I saw a group of women also emerging, doing the same, following the same routine. Then I waited at the gate and spoke to one woman who refused to be identified. The lady was traumatized. She was shaking, and she was almost in tears. And when I spoke to her, she narrated a painful ordeal about how they were kept underground from Sunday until Wednesday. In a nutshell, she says that they were on a normal routine night shift when a group of colleagues, and she didn't mention the gender of those colleagues, but presumably could be men carrying traditional sticks, telling them that no one is going to work. They must remain where they are. They are staging what Amkuleta claimed was a sit-in. And then she said they were ordered not to move. They were there then they had to sleep on Wednesday afternoon. And she also said that on Tuesday, there were attempts by AMCU to send food underground, and allegedly the mine personnel or the mine management refused the food to go underground, fearing that should workers receive food, they will overstay underground. And then she said that as she was there, she was praying for her safety and praying that this thing would end and she would go home to see her one and only child. Then after speaking to her, I also spoke to a few male mine workers who were underground. They also said they were shocked when they were told that you are not going anywhere, you are here. And then later they were explained that we don't want the National Union of Mine Workers to represent us as our only union here. We should all be joining Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union, AMCU, because they claim that the NUM has failed to represent them, and they prefer to be represented by AMCU. And then one gentleman said to me that after hearing that, he was in solidarity with his colleagues, that he even asked them they must arrange more food so that they can stay for more than a week underground for a message to be sent to the National Union of Mine Workers that they are heartful with them.
Right. So the standoff then ends on Wednesday, and according to AMCU, miners resurfaced. But do we know what the resolution was?
At the moment, there is no resolution. It's only what AMCU says and what the NUM says and what the police say. The police said it is an alleged hostage situation where also two paramedics and a security guard were also taken hostage underground. The NUM also considered what the police said, and then they seconded the police saying that this was also a hostage situation. But AMCU said it was a sit-in where workers voluntarily participated. No one forced them. And I specifically put questions to the NUM. What type of hostage was it? What weapons? They did not respond to say what type of hostage was it. And they only referred us to the police. The police also have not explained in details how that hostage happened, if there were weapons, if the number of people were injured, because also saw people leaving ambulances. And NUM also said there were few injuries. No one explained to us how those people injured, whether they were assaulted or those people maybe were on chronic medication, or was it because of hunger? We don't know what really happened underground.
Ntwakai Seleka, senior reporter at News 24. And to find the full coverage of the Gold One Mine sit-in story, compiled by News 24 reporters Alex Patrick, Belinda Peto, and Ntwakai Seleka, do visit news24.com. In KZN, with less than a month before the South African Music Awards, the KZN provincial government announced that it was withdrawing from funding and hosting the event this year.
As an executive authority, having consulted widely with the Executive Council and other stakeholders, I've advised the department to stop the hosting of South African Music Award this year.
Known for honoring some of South Africa's top musical talent, the South African Music Awards are now embroiled in financial controversy. Soyiso Maliti, News 24 senior politics journalist, details to us why the KZN government decided to withdraw from hosting. Soyiso, let's maybe go back to when you first broke the story of how much the KZN government was planning on spending to host the South African Music Awards. What was the justification behind the amount that they were planning on setting aside?
they requested 28 million from the provincial treasury. So they said that they wanted to host for 28 million, and treasury said that was too much. And the provincial government said it would cost 20 million. They told us to the media. But actually, provincial treasury had approved 23 million. It's not clear why the provincial government would say it would spend 20 million when 23 million was approved after initially asking for 28 million. So their argument, provincial government, that is that this would have this investment of 20 million would have had significant trade-offs, and it would have resulted in initially 350 million into the provincial economy, and later they said it would have pumped in 450 million into the economy. So there was a bit of a discrepancy there. Despite that, they didn't answer the question as to how they arrived at how they would be able to pump 450 million or 350 million into the economy. So the question wasn't asked by the media, but it's a question that anyone would have wanted to know. You were saying that you're gonna throw in 20 million into this, and it's going to make 350 million or 450 million. They don't go into the specific details as to how they would have achieved this.
So now let's look at the costs that the KZN government cited as justification for this proposed 28 million rand. In the story that you wrote, I'm seeing a host province association fee of 2.5 million. I'm seeing six influencers, celebrity champions at 420,000 and 70,000 apiece. I'm also seeing summer red carpet show of about 2 million rand. And I'm seeing a road to summer activation in about six cities for about 1.8 million rand. And a golf day for about 225,000 rand. What other costs did they cite as justification for this amount?
Absolutely. So the provincial department asked for 2.5 million for a fee that is quote unquote host province association. They asked for 11.5 million of for summer live broadcast and non-broadcast show. And the red carpet you mentioned of 2 million, road to summer activation in six cities at a cost of 1.8 million, six influencers at 420,000, and that would have meant 70,000 each, a golf day of 225,000, and a goodie bag experience of 3 million. And even Treasury was reluctant, or they posed questions and asked why the host province association was being paid 2.5 million, and who this entity is. And they raised questions about the broadcasting fee, and quote unquote they wanted to know why the red carpet show costed separately from other broadcasting fees.
Now let's fast forward to Wednesday this week, where the KZN government held a media briefing to officially announce that it was withdrawing from hosting the summers. And of course, at the back of this, you had also previously reported that President Cyril Ramaphosa had quietly advised the KZN government to actually not go ahead and host the awards. What were some of the key takeaways from the media briefing that was held on Wednesday?
Okay, it is one, the admission by Duma himself that the summer awards were polarizing. He says that they had good intentions, which is to keep the economy buzzing. And he says that an unemployed person, making an example of an unemployed person in Nongoma, he said an unemployed person who hears on the radio, television, that government is spending 20 million on the summer awards, that would immediately be polarizing. Another thing, or another key cutaway from the press briefing, is that they're actually just postponing this event because they have a 3-year sponsorship with the summit. So next year they're going to host the event again. They're just not hosting it this year.
With the future of the summits happening this year now hanging in limbo, the custodians of the award ceremony, the Recording Industry of South Africa, is now looking for sponsorship. Kitume Tsamako, entertainment reporter at News 24 Live, fills us in on reaction from the public and music industry on the debacle. We spoke to our senior politics reporter, Soyiso Maliti, earlier on KZN announcing that it was now withdrawing from hosting the summers this year, which means then they are now looking for sponsorship. What do we know so far regarding them looking for the sponsorship?
There hasn't been a new update beyond what we already know, which is that the KZN government has pulled out of hosting this year's South African Music Awards, and that RISA, the custodians of the SAMAs, is currently in consultations with their contractual partners about a way forward. The only snag is that there is a 3-year partnership with RISA and the KZN government to host the awards. So in terms of finding a sponsorship, there is very limited time, and they might just not be able to secure a sponsor in time.
You know, the biggest takeaway from me, a point of interest, regarding this whole hosting debacle, was the cost that the KZN government had asked from provincial treasury, which was 28 million rand, to host the SAMAs. Do we at this point have any estimate of, you know, how much it should or maybe costs to host and run the SAMAs?
We don't have an accurate figure at the moment, but we also do know that hosting an event of this magnitude does come with quite a hefty price tag, considering all the work that goes into it. You know, there is about 28 million rand that was supposed to be allocated or that was asked for. But with regards to an accurate or a rough estimate, we don't have one as yet.
You spoke to the Recording Industry of South Africa, which actually owns the SAMAs, right? Are they actually confident that they will be able to get sponsorship ahead of the weekend of the 17th and 18th when the summers are expected to take place?
I mean, at this moment, it honestly seems unclear. After speaking to Risa, it does seem unclear whether or not they will be able to secure a sponsor in time, especially considering the fact that earlier this year, Risa did admit that the awards were delayed due to financial issues around July. There's only about 3 weeks remaining, like I said, until the awards. So they'd almost literally have to pull a rabbit out of a hat at this point to have everything ready. Because like I said, it's a huge event. You know, there's stages, there's moving people from Johannesburg to Durban. There's all these other logistics.
Hotel bookings and so forth. Yeah.
Precisely. And I mean, they did say in a statement that was issued yesterday that they were in the process of securing, I think it was around 300 rooms.
Yes, 350 if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 350 rooms. So you can imagine that if now you have to just, where is there going to be enough space? Which province, which person or which corporate has that big of a budget lying around at this time of the year and this late in the financial year already, you know, just to hop on and pull out 28 million, you know, as the amount has been given.
Yeah. You know, 2 weeks back, we had spoken to News 24 Live's deputy lifestyle editor, Kawunda, and we were actually looking at whether or not music awards in South Africa and in general actually still hold any significance. But I do, however, feel, Kitu, that the whole debacle and this very dark cloud, you know, shadowing the SAMAs, does really set a very questionable precedent as to our appreciation of South African music and just creative, the creative industry in general. And now in comparison to how the rest of the world actually is appreciating our talent. You know, we are seeing so many young people, you know, soaring internationally. I think the most recent person that I can think of at the top of my head is Tyler.
Yes.
Right. I'm just also very curious to find out, you know, what the reaction has been from our local musicians?
They're expressing quite a bit of disappointment.
Understandably.
Zex Bantwini and Kulichana, to be exact, have been vocal about this. I echo similar sentiment because they are up-and-coming artists who have been nominated, you know, people that have never been nominated before as well. And they put in the work, you know. They surely also do deserve some sort of recognition for their hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate that here at home we're seeing a loss or a decline in popularity of music awards. I think this is the South African Music Awards. The Metro FM Music Awards also made a return this year after, I think it was 5 years. So I think there's generally just the awards are becoming less popular.
Yes, yes, yes. And finally, Kitu, News 24 Live's Hello Weekend drops this Saturday. What can our audience expect from this upcoming issue?
Yes, it's that time of the week. You know that News 24 Live always ends the week on a high note with Hello Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, our readers can look forward to a feature with a former Miss South Africa, Shudu, about her swimwear that's now available at one of our retailers and her becoming a two-time author.
Oh, nice.
We've also got something for our skincare fanatics about some of the do's and don'ts from a dermatologist. There's also a thoughtful wine feature and something to look forward to for Murder about the evolution of his fatherhood.
Oh, nice.
Yes. There's
that sounds like an interesting read.
Definitely going to be one. So, hey.
And of course, you can find the latest edition of Hello Weekend on news24.com. Thank you to Kitumitse Mako, entertainment reporter at News24 Live. Other stories you can find on news24.com include Mashatile declares 37 million rand waterfall mansion owned by his son and son-in-law to Parliament as his own by Carl Cowan. You can also read EFF Gauteng leader chauffeured in private vehicle fitted with blue lights at time of Eastern crash by Ndwagai Seleka. You can also search and find Kambembe Inquiry EMS chief describes ticking time bomb inside hijacked Joburg CBD building by Alex Patrick. And do make sure you also listen to our live location broadcast of News 24's daily dedicated rugby podcast, The Inside Pass, on Saturday ahead of the Rugby World Cup final between the Springboks and the All Blacks. Thank you for listening. Do join us next Friday for the next installment of the Weekly Digest.